Let's pray. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, please open our hearts this morning to your word and what you want to say to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Who of us has not felt like that at some time, at some stage? We may not have uttered exactly the same words, but we've had a similar feeling. It may be your position in church this morning. Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you've been brought along. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time. But you just can't quite believe what you hear. It may be that you're facing a real time of testing and trial, an illness, a family situation, a situation at school, college, or work that just doesn't seem to be getting any better. And if anything, it seems to be getting worse, and your faith is running on empty. It may be that you're just fed up of battling the same old sin and temptation. You've been a Christian a number of years, and you long to be free. You feel burdened by guilt, and somehow feel that your relationship with God is a fraud. What I love about God, what I love about Jesus, what I love about the Christian faith is that God meets us where we're at, and we can come before him whatever state of faith and doubt. All we need to do is come before him. But sometimes even that can be difficult. Well, if you're feeling like that this morning, you're here. Whatever reason, whatever questions, whatever feelings, God has brought you here this morning. In the passage we're about to look at in Mark, another passage that was read in Romans, I think we have a real message of hope. Well, please do grab your Bibles if you put them down, because it would be helpful for me, and I think it would be helpful for you if you had that passage in Mark open in front of you. It's Mark chapter 9, and it's on page 45 of the New Testament section of the Church Bible. Page 45 in the New Testament section, Mark 9, verses 14 to 29. We'll talk about spiritual highs and lows. The context is that the transfiguration has just taken place. If you look at verses 2 to 8 of chapter 9, Peter, James, and John have witnessed an incredible event, and God has declared of Jesus in verse 7, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." Then they come down the mountain, and there's a crowd, and there's the scribes, and there's the disciples. And verse 15 suggests that there's still physical evidence of the transfiguration. Have a look at verse 15 where it says, "When the crowd saw Jesus, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him." Spiritual high, but then Jesus hits a bump. He's brought back down to earth as his disciples and the scribes are arguing. And so Jesus asks his disciples in verse 16, "What are you arguing about with them?" But it's not the disciples who answer that question. Instead, it's the voice of a father who's brought his son. And he says to Jesus of his son, "He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. It seizes him and dashes him to the ground." And he tells Jesus that his disciples couldn't cast the spirit out. Then we have a response from Jesus, and no matter how many times I've read this passage, I still find it quite shocking. Have a look at verse 19. Jesus answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." When I read this passage, one of the things that struck me was Jesus' humanity. And it may seem obvious. We know Jesus is both human and divine, although I think Pathfinders were having a bit of a discussion about this over a week. But in this verse, in what Jesus says, we see, we feel, we hear his exasperation. And we need to remember that Jesus is very clear now that he's on the way to Calvary, he's on the way to the cross. If you just look back at verse 31 of chapter 8, the passage that Rob preached on the other week, and it says, Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus has performed amazing miracles. Earlier on in the chapter, we read about the feeding of the 5,000, giving sight to the blind, and he's on his way to the greatest healing that will ever take place. And yet here he is, scribes and disciples arguing. Jesus' disciples have not been able to heal the boy. And no doubt they felt pressure maybe when Jesus wasn't there to show their power to the scribes. We know they could heal. If you just turn back to chapter 6 and verses 12 to 13, it's on page 41. Verses 12 and 13 of chapter 6. So the disciples went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. But they'd not been able to heal this boy. And Jesus chastises the disciples and maybe includes the scribes and the crowds. And we'll see later on why on this occasion the disciples could not heal the boy. But at this point, just after the transfiguration, on his way to the cross, Jesus is exasperated and his humanity is clear. Interesting, verse 20, as is often the case, the spirit within the boy, the wrong spirit, recognizes Jesus, even if people don't. And the boy has convulsions. And then when we then move from this general crowd scene where you've got the scribes, the disciples, the crowds around, to this one-to-one conversation between Jesus and the Father. And I think that's how God deals with us. He speaks to us generally, but he also meets with us individually. Jesus asks the Father about his son's condition. And so the Father explains. And at the end of verse 22, he says to Jesus, "But if you're able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." I'm sure we can all empathize with the cry of the Father. For any of us as parents would know the desperation that we would feel if our child had been suffering in this way, or for any of us, for a loved one. But again, we get a very human response from Jesus, but also I think it's a response that shows his divinity. Verse 23, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." And it's in the Father's reply that we get what I consider to be one of the most moving and powerful responses to Jesus. "I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief." Have we ever echoed those words? "I believe, Jesus, you can help me through this challenging time at school, at work. Please help my unbelief. I believe, Jesus, you can help me to face this illness, that I'd rather go away, that I don't feel you're present with me. Help my unbelief. I believe, Jesus, you can help me to battle this sin, that you don't want me to stay entangled. Help my unbelief." The Father shows faith, however fragile. And you know, sometimes that's all we're able to bring before God. But this encounter shows that it's right, and it's better to bring it before God rather than allowing our fragile faith to keep us away from him. Jesus doesn't want the Father to stay in such a state of unbelief, and he doesn't want us to. But the first step is to approach Jesus, to come before us, before him. And for all of us, at some stage in our lives, in our faith, that's all we'll be able to do. But I, for one, am thankful that whilst in terms of my faith, it might not be the picture I like to hold of myself, it might not be the picture I want to present to others, it's okay before God. Jesus, from his spiritual high of the transfiguration, on his way to the cross, in the midst of unbelief, but how does he respond to this father's desperate faith? Well, he heals a boy and he rids him of the evil spirit that has caused so much hurt over such a long period. If you have a look at verse 27, at the end of the healing, he takes a boy's hand, lifts him up, and he's able to stand. I don't want to stretch a point too far, but in everything that I read about Jesus, I don't think it's too much to say it's also a picture of what he did for the Father. The Father says, "I believe, help my unbelief." Jesus took the Father by the hand, lifted him, and helped him to stand. And there's a link between the Father and the disciples. The disciples, away from the crowd, asked Jesus why it was they couldn't heal. Have a look at verse 28. Had God stopped their healing power? Had God turned the healing power to low? Well, Jesus says this kind can only come through prayer. The Father approached Jesus in his belief and unbelief. And it would seem the disciples had a lack of faith. But it is perhaps that their faith was misplaced, as they placed it in themselves and their own power and experience of healing in other situations. And Jesus is saying to them, "You couldn't deal with it because you didn't pray. When I sent you out before, you could deal with demons because you prayed. This time you didn't. You thought you could do it on your own." What they hadn't done was approach God in prayer to seek him and his power. Their question had been about why they couldn't heal, as if it was about them rather than God. Jesus, in highlighting prayer, is saying that they needed to humble themselves before God to seek him. Is that an encouragement, a challenge that we need to hear, to return to God in prayer? He longs each one of us to know his presence and power. And in this is a connection between the disciples and the Father. Jesus would not want the Father to stay in doubt throughout his life. Yes, there'll probably be other low points in his faith. And he wants the disciples to have faith in him, even when things do not seem to work. Jesus asked both the Father and the disciples to approach God in faith, to rely and grow in him. And he asked you to do the same. He asked me to do the same. Life, faith, will have its ups and downs. There'll be challenges that come from within when we battle sin and self. And there'll be challenges without when we face illness, situations within the family, situations at school or work. And Jesus asks us to approach him. He offers hope in our weakness, in our unbelief. Romans, the passage that we had read earlier on, says that nothing will shake our faith. And sometimes we'll read those words and we'll utter the words of the Father, "I believe, help my unbelief." God asks us to bow the knee and to seek him in and through prayer, to find healing and hope in Jesus. And Jesus promises you, and he promises me, that he'll take us by the hand, he'll lift us up, and he'll help us to stand. Amen.